All right. Everybody have a good Valentine's Day. You ladies had a good time at your event, I trust. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Jennifer and I had a chance to get away, and wow, it was really nice, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Glad to be back here in the house of the Lord. So, hey, Elder Jeff, as soon as someone could get that whiteboard up here, it'd be great. I want to talk to you tonight about something that's really been on my heart. And I'll tell you, it's just one of those things that I just have not been able to escape. Have you ever gotten a word from the Lord and it just seems like it's just sticky, 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 sticky? And it's just like, wow, there's real truth here that has the potential to change people's lives. And how many people know we cry out for revival here in this church and around the world, but until we're ready to change, it can't happen. It can't happen. We need to be the change to the world. How is revival going to happen? It's going to happen out of us into a lost and dying world. But if we don't address the issue that I'm going to talk about tonight, it's going to be impossible for us to break into what God really wants us to do. How many people in here want to break through into what God wants to do? I'm telling you, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's ready to go. I mean, he is literally ready to go. You think, well, you know, we have to wait for the Lord's timing. Well, that might be true, but when revival happens, it's going to be in the moment that it happens, which is now. Revival starts in you. In fact, I would challenge every person in this room to understand the greatest revival you will ever experience already happened. Because you got saved, because you got filled with the Holy Ghost, because you were empowered by the Word of God. Now, how do we translate that into millions and then billions of people? We are going to need one thing. Everybody say one thing. We need to develop, and this is the theme of this message, we need to develop a kingdom mindset, a kingdom mindset. We all in this room have a mind, don't we? Yet we all do. In that mind, we have a brain, right? We have a brain that has a mind. But guess what? That mind will go wherever it wants to go based on the past experiences that it's had. Unless you set a mindset, a kingdom mindset that says, I'm going to filter what comes into this mind based on a mindset built on the promises of God, which are yes and amen to all who believe, all who are called according to his purpose. But if we don't possess the mindset, the mind is going to do whatever it wants to do. It's got a constant attachment to the past, and it is fighting to keep things the way things are. And how many people know it's not worth fighting to keep things the way they are? The fight comes in us developing ourselves as men and women of God with a proper mindset. Whenever I say the word mindset tonight, I want you to think of a crown around your head. A crown around your head. Where's your mind? It's in your head right here. But if we don't have the crown, and that crown doesn't represent something of value where God wants us to go, then we're all going to be fighting to keep things the way they are, the way they've always been, and how dare we try to challenge the status quo in the kingdom of God. Everything in the kingdom of God needs to be challenged now, in this hour. It must be challenged. We must awaken individually and then corporately as the body of Christ. What are you going to think of when I say mindset? Where's that crown? On your head. Praise the Lord. It's on your head. You wear that crown proudly, and nothing gets to enter this temple because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Nothing gets to enter this temple without going through the mindset. Amen. I made a little drawing here, and I'm sorry, it's a little bit shiny up here. I'm going to move it over here where you guys can hopefully see it better. This simplifies what I'm going to try to my best to articulate tonight. How many people know you're going to have thoughts about stuff? How many people know that your thoughts are going to be different than the person next to you about even the same circumstances? Yep. So then from our thoughts, we also have feelings, don't we? Feelings about how things are. We're happy, we're sad, we're mad, we're glad, right? Everything in between. So we have thoughts plus feelings. That creates what you call your state. Your state of being. What am I being in this moment? This is the temple of the Holy Spirit now, right? It's not just you anymore. You've been bought with a price. You've been converted into a kingdom temple. Now, filled with marvelous things or filled with things that are impure, things that don't belong in a temple. You've all heard me say this before, but if I walked up here, even as a pastor in this house, if I walked up here and started to dump garbage all over this altar, who in here would stop me? Everybody would. Wouldn't matter what my title was around here. And you should stop me. That would be totally inappropriate for me to come in here, whether we're having a service or we're not. If you see me dumping rotten garbage up here on this altar, you should stop me. You should stop anybody that would want to do that. But what about this altar? What about this altar right here? Think about what comes through your mind in a day that goes completely unchecked, goes completely status quo, just trying to get through the day. Where's my coffee? Where's my breakfast? You know, how am I going to get to lunchtime? And then, you know, when do I get to go home after work today? And then what am I going to do tomorrow, right? I mean, like, if you're not careful, that's what will occupy your entire day. And that would be a good day. That would be a good day. Does everybody understand how your thoughts and your feelings create your state of being? Does everybody understand that when God created man, that he breathed the breath of life into him and he became a living being? A living being. In that moment, God had already created Adam from the dust of the earth. His physical body was there, but he was not yet alive because the Spirit of God had not yet entered him. The moment the essence of God went into him, he became a living being, perfect in every possible way, every possible way. And so, from our state, we'll start to develop a language, won't we? Oh, buddy, yeah. How you talk about life's different than the person that next to you, isn't it? You can be married to the same person for 30, 40, 50 years. How they'll explain the way life is and how you'll explain the way life is, completely different things, right? So if we're not careful, our thoughts go unchecked, our feelings go unchecked, our state of being goes unchecked, and then all of a sudden we create a language that is more focused on justification than justice. Think about that. I develop a language around justifying things the way I perceive them to be, rather than the language to support the justice of the kingdom of God and the way he has made things to be. Does that all make sense to you guys? Yeah. And there's a big difference between justifying something and getting to justice. Because once justice falls, it's over, man. And we've all had these awesome experiences with God, haven't we? We've all gotten to the point where we just said, I'm no longer going to justify the way things are based on my limited thinking, my limited feelings, which have nothing to do with the Word of God, right? Nothing to do with me as the temple of God, which has created a state in me that has nothing to do with the atmosphere that God wants to fill me with. And so then I have to create words of justification to justify the way things are in my life. And we victimize ourselves by doing this, don't we? Absolutely victimize ourselves. We become helpless. And imagine all of the time, all of the effort, all of the energy that goes into these kinds of thoughts, feelings, states, and words to ultimately get something we don't want in the first place. From our thoughts, our feelings, our state, our words, we get a result. Every person in this room has a different result. Every single one of us. Every single person in the history of mankind, there's never been two people with the same exact results. And there never will be. Because we are the host of our own thoughts, our own feelings, our own state, our own words, and that creates, oh man, I forgot one. It's action. Your state, your words, your actions. Your result. Promises of God are here. Your results are here. And you've created a language to support this rather than that. And we wonder why God is not falling down on his people. We wonder why we don't exude the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wonder why the people in the church have the same results as the people in the world. There's no distinction anymore that I can see. Same divorce rates, same sickness rates, everything the same. When God has created us in his image and his likeness, and has given us a way where there seems to be no way, but until we can create the mindset of the kingdom of God, how could we possibly create different thoughts, feelings, state, words, actions, results? How would it be possible? There's no challenge. There's no challenge to the status quo. It is the way it is. In fact, I would get in an argument with you, or you'd get in an argument with me to defend your case. This is why my life is the way it is. Without really thinking about, well, what have my thoughts been? The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. Right? But it also says that you can possess the mind of Christ. Not like his. Don't misunderstand that. It says you can possess a mind of Christ. Well, what does that mean? That means you'll know what you need to know when you need to know it, at all times, every time, all the time. No more wondering and wavering and, well, God, is this your will? God, is this not your will? God, is this something that I should just fleece you with, or is this something I should take my stand for the kingdom of heaven? And these are big changes in how we think, how we feel, the state that we create, the actions we're going to take to create the results that we have. I've got good news for you. Life is not happening to you, it's happening from you. Otherwise, different people would all have the same results sometimes. Like Mike and I could just do the same things and then we get the same results. But that can't happen. It could never happen. But once you get your result, you should develop something which is the key to all change, which is awareness. A new awareness. And the way that awareness is going to come is when you come back full circle here, before you have that next thought, that thought has to be filtered through the mindset of the kingdom of God. I do not accept anything in this temple that is not of God. And it's not just the smoking, the drinking, the carousing, guys. No. Get past all that. I'm talking about the Bible says, thus says the Lord. As much as it says that you can be saved and go to heaven and forgiven of all your sins, it also says, by his stripes you were healed. It also says that Jesus became poor so that you could become rich. But what about all your thoughts about that? What about your feelings about that? How that makes you feel? What kind of state is that creating in your temple? We call it the Spirit of the Lord here in our services, right? What is the atmosphere that you're carrying? What is it filled with? What kind of words are you going to use? Are you going to choose words of justice or of justification for the way things are? What kind of actions are you willing to take for the kingdom of heaven? And what kind of results could that manifest in your life and in the lives that you would come in contact with? This is the key to life. Awareness is your key to change. And until you're willing to develop a mindset of the kingdom of God, you will not be aware of the thoughtless thoughts and feelings and horrible state that you're carrying and the words that you're using to support your justification and the actions you're going to do and the results you're going to create. Even God himself started with a thought about you. He did. It was a plan. It was something he imagined in his infinite wisdom that, man, before I create anything, before the foundations of the earth, I know Lee. I know her. And when you can grab a hold of that and think, man, before there was a before, God knew her. God knew you. God knew me. That's how he knew you. Not in sin, not in a sinful state, not in a state that says, well, I read the Bible, I quote the Bible, but when it comes right down to it, I don't have the thoughts about it. I don't have the feelings about it. I don't possess a state of being about it. Like the Word of God is designed to penetrate every part of you, every single dimension that could ever exist in a human being. But if we're not careful, we'll be in this world and of this world. We'll think like the world thinks. We'll feel like the world feels. We'll have a state like the world has. We'll have words like the world speaks. We'll have actions like the world would act. And we're going to create those kinds of results. And we'll never get to awareness because we don't have a filter to bring all of that through, to know how to think, to know how to feel, to know what that state that you're carrying is. Is this of God? Is this not of God? No awareness will occur. But with a mindset, with that crown upon your head, with that crown, I'm telling you, you will develop such heightened awareness. You'll start to go, my goodness, no wonder my life is not the way I hoped it would be. No wonder my life is the way that it is, because it's happening from me, not to me. And the more I can become aware of the areas of my life that aren't lining up with the Word of God, and the better I can choose my thoughts, the better I can choose my feelings, the better my state of being is going to be, and on we go. Because I've got news for you. Your thoughts and feelings are not only affecting what's outside of you in the material world, it's affecting and infecting you inside to the very core of your being. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, do you not realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you realize that? Do you get up in the morning? Do you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives where? He's not in heaven, he's here. Kingdom of heaven's right here. Right here. And was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. You do not belong to this world. You do not belong to the things of this world. You belong to the kingdom of God. That's where you belong. Just like you're a citizen of the United States. Well, where do you belong? I belong in the United States of America. I'm a citizen of this place. Every right in this country is my right. And if I went somewhere else, guess what? I could try to act the same way and they could throw my butt in jail. You better believe it. I could throw my butt in jail. We see executions that occur for just being public about your Christian beliefs. They will murder you publicly. Imagine now, imagine the kingdom of heaven inside of you. It says God bought you with a price. So you must. Does it say must there? Yeah. It doesn't say, well, you should consider. It doesn't say, well, you know, if you feel like it. It doesn't say any of that. It says you must honor God with your body. You must honor him with your body. Point number one, your body is the temple of God. A temple must be kept in pristine condition. Pristine. The atmosphere in that place must be, I mean, pure as the driven snow. You're not created like a temple. You are created as the temple. This building at 949 East Bell Road, believe it or not, is going to be reduced to rubble. Maybe even in our lifetimes. We don't know, right? I mean, it's a building. It's a structure. It will fail. You will never fail. With a kingdom mindset, you will never, ever, 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 ever fail. It's interesting. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. Man, just think of 150 trillion years from now. We wore out earth. Man, we wore out heaven. Praise the Lord. And we're going on to somewhere else. We get so caught up in what's out there in the sweet by and by someday rather than the omnipresence of God, man. Like he's right here. He's never going to get any closer. I mean, he's going to be closer than a brother. He's going to be closer than your next breath. And the moment you become aware of how close he is, you can't even fathom how much closer he is than that. That's how close he is. All the time. But if we're not careful, we won't operate as kingdom people. We won't carry a constitutional mindset like we call in the United States of America, right? We won't carry the constitutional mindset. And if we don't carry the constitutional mindset, then the Constitution itself is worthless. Like you said, you could throw the Bible, you could stand on it, you could shred it, you could burn it. The value of the book is zero. The value of what it says in that book and the rhema in that book is invaluable. It will never do you or anyone any good sitting on that shelf. Can't do it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Elder Mike's word for the word of God. Study it. Show yourself approved unto God. You prove the word of God. And in proving the word of God, you will prove yourself. You will prove yourself. And all the justification that you currently have will fall away. It will be useless to you, useless to anyone. You'll have more energy, more vitality, more spirituality, more of everything that God gives us as a result of getting rid of all of our stinking thinking, stinking feelings. Who thinks your thoughts? Do I think your thoughts? Do you think my thoughts? No. Whose choice is your thought? Whose choice is your feeling? Whose choice is your state? If you're waking up every day and you're anxious or you're depressed and you're just at your wit's end and you don't know what to do, you need to grab a hold of a mindset of the kingdom of God and begin to form your thoughts and align them with the word of God. Otherwise, you're just in a walk in the park. You're on your way somewhere and it's just going to be miserable. And you're searching for where God, where are you? And God's going, where are you? Where are you? Why aren't you adopting the very nature that you were created from? What are you waiting for? A temple is a place where God dwells, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. freedom. Freedom exists on the inside of you as you choose your thoughts. You align those things, man, to the Word of God. Your feelings are not your feelings anymore. Your thoughts are not your thoughts anymore. Your state of being is not your state of being anymore. It's all been bought with a price. And where that Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. A temple is where God gathers us for worship. For worship. Not for complaint. Not for lies. Not to gather and talk about our justified lives as if that matters. A temple is a place of great reverence. Oh, great reverence. And God asks us to come boldly before the throne of grace. How much further do you need to go than right here? God, forgive me of all my sins. God, cleanse my heart of all unrighteousness. God, I make this the temple of you. God, I'm sorry for thinking the way I've thought. I'm sorry for feeling the way I felt. I'm so sorry for the state that I've been carrying. I recommit my life to a mindset of the kingdom of God. I am a kingdom citizen. As much as I'm a citizen of the United States and I possess all of the power of that Constitution, I possess all of the power of the Word of God through being a mighty warrior inside of the kingdom of God. You are the keeper of God's temple. You. It starts with you, it ends with you. You do not belong to yourself. Your body, emotions, and spirit belong to God. Your mind, through the quality of thoughts and emotions, make up the state or the atmosphere of your body. You are a spirit. Where the mind and the body goes determines the vitality of that spirit. I was talking to one of the brothers here in our congregation a couple weeks ago. He's starting to lose weight, and he goes, you know what? I was so surprised by something. And I said, well, what was that? He said, man, my connection to God is stronger. My connection to God is stronger. This gets into the temple dynamics. You're not just a body. You are a body, a spirit, and a soul. That soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It's the peanut butter and jelly between two slices of bread is what it is. You are a spirit that has a body, but you have to understand the part of you that needs to be redeemed is the soul. And the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if that's not getting restored, how in the world is the body going to do what it's supposed to do? How in the world is the spirit going to rise up inside of you? How is that going to happen? And our spirit must bear witness with the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We must become God inside minded. Romans 8, 11 and 12 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I could go on and on with scripture after scripture after scripture showing you that you are the temple of God. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature, thought, feeling, state, words, actions, and poor results, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. John 14, 16 through 18, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Hallelujah. Capital A right there. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truthful thoughts, truthful feelings, truthful states of being, truthful words, truthful actions, and truthful results. And he will give you such self-awareness of what's really happening, it's almost difficult to have conversations anymore with regular old people doing regular old stuff because they are like, how in the world, what are you talking about? Some of you in this room, I'm talking to you and it's like, I'm not catching all of this. You need to listen to it like 20 times until you get this. You do. Because if you don't get this one thing, how in the world is the power at work in you going to go out of you? How is that going to happen? It cannot happen. You're suppressing. Next week, I think I'm speaking again. I'll put a different drawing up here, and I'll show you how that actually looks physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You can't say, as an example, well, on a scale of 0 to 10, I'm like a 9 out of 10 spiritually, but physically, I'm a 2, and emotionally, I'm like a 5. No, everything's a 2. Everything's a 2. You're not human beings. You're a human being, one, singular, one. Just as God is one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The three are one. 2 Corinthians, let me finish this one. John 14, 16 through 18. The world cannot receive him, the Holy Spirit, because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. This is before Pentecost. This is in John chapter 14. Pentecost hasn't happened yet. And he's saying later the Spirit of God's going to be in you. For now, he's with you. So you go from Genesis, God breathed into mankind, he became a living being, to Adam and Eve sinning, and God coming back and saying, where are you? That was separation between God and man for the very first time. And then went for thousands of years. God either said, you either do what I tell you to do, or I'll wipe you off the face of the earth. That's how it worked. And thank God, listen to this, by the Spirit of God, thank God that God had a mindset for the kingdom of God. Thank God that God didn't just say, I'm always going to do it that way. He said, no, there's a better way. No, I free myself of that. And all I can tell you is, because of his willingness to put on a whole new mindset, he was able to institute prophecy in the midst of his judgment. And that prophecy was that he was going to send another. His name would be Emmanuel. He will be the Son of God, and he will die for your sins once and for all. Think about that. Think about the turmoil in the heavens. Think of the turmoil in the universe with the separation between God and man. It's not his will. And I love what Pastor Lonnie said last week or the week before. He says at the end of the day, the devil wanted something. He wanted to be like God, didn't he? That's what he said. And by God, if God didn't just say, you know what, I'm not going to give it to you, I'm going to give it to you. He gave exactly what the devil was looking for to mankind. If you're worried about the devil, you're worried about his influence, he is a pathetic, worthless, mindless, godless, weak being. He has no power, no authority over the believer. But if you're going to try to play with the devil, I'm telling you, he's going to have influence in your life. God isn't going to put bad stuff on you. You're going to do it to yourself, and you're going to invite, just like Eve did, into your midst, and you're going to listen to something that sounds like the truth, because what Satan told her was part of the truth. Don't you want to be more like God? Didn't he create you in his image and likeness? Don't you want to know what he knows, both death and life? Don't you want to know those things? Sounds pretty appealing to me. But it was a lie, and it was believed as a lie. And thoughts were formed around that. Feelings formed around that. A different state of being was formed around that. I'm telling you, words and a language was created around that that had nothing to do with the truth to make them free and to keep them free. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. 2 Corinthians 3:17, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The greatest force to ever exist lives within you. Lives within you. Jesus restored God's presence within mankind at Pentecost. Again, Genesis, God in man. Old Testament, God with man. New Testament, God in man again. I get it. It sounds fantastic that you're forgiven of all your sins and all of that stuff. But the greatest thing to me that happened was that God was no longer with mankind. God is in mankind again, restored again. And we've got to have that mindset. We've got to know that. I got to tell you guys, you're more than you think. You're more than you think right now. It says in Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that well. I am well because of that. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us a whole long time ago. His plans are sure. They are. But you cannot continue to justify the way things are when it's contrary to what God's promises are for your life. You just can't do it. That would be like me saying, well, you know, I can't go to church in America. And I just believe that, and I think that, and then I feel that, and then I create the state of that, and the whole words, I can explain it to you why I can't, actions and results when I have a constitution that says I can. You were made well because God is well. You were made for and by God to become the vessel of his glory, and that glory would be released from you. The same glory that God possesses, released from you. That's why it's important that you understand that you are not your own. Let him exude himself through you. You are the vessel. He is the oil. Let it out. You are created anew in Christ, so you can and must do better. Can and must. The mind must be guided with a higher standard. I can tell you this much. Any goal that you would ever set, if it doesn't have the standards associated with it, you will never reach that goal. You must have standards with goals. You must have a standard for yourself to live up to so you can achieve anything in this world. Because no matter what the results are today, with better thoughts, better feelings, a better state, better words, better action, you will create any result. With the same exact process and the same exact energy you're putting into your life now, you start to shift it into a mindset of the kingdom of God, you will create any outcome. Nothing will be impossible to you. Absolutely nothing. This isn't an idea message. This isn't a, I hope you get this. It's like, you got to get this. As much as God can use the steps on this wheel, so can the devil, man. Work every one of these against you. Man, this is good stuff. Romans 12:2. How much time I got? All right, I got a few minutes. Good. I'm just getting warmed up here. If you think it's good so far, I'm telling you, you grab a hold of this and you start developing the awareness I'm talking about through a kingdom of God mindset, and you say, no more stuff going to come down in here. And don't worry about when it does. Don't worry about that. Stuff's going to get through, right? But when it comes back around again, just, oh yeah, there it is again. A, I'm thankful that I'm aware of it. God, forgive me for allowing it in that last time. And I'm going to choose something better right now. Not best. Don't strive for better. Just better. Better. How many people know that if you make little steps of better, that over time, that's going to create a better result? Would you agree? So don't get hung up on the best. There's only one who's the best. That's Jesus. Better and better and better. Day after day after day after day. Better, better, better. Challenging your old way of thinking that you know is already attached to your past. And there's nothing that's happened in your past that is adequate to deal with what's happening right here, right now. And anything that, any attachment to that past is just, oh my goodness, the only thing worse than what happened back then is that you're dragging it into this moment again. That's the only thing that's worse than that. Free yourself of that nonsense. Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform. Everybody say transform you. Let God do that. Stop blocking him from doing that. Allow him to do the work that only he can do. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you... Oh, my goodness. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. That's going to require a different language, isn't it, guys? Yeah, you better believe it. A different language. A totally different language. I can promise you this much. I don't know much about cars. What I know is if my truck goes clunk, 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 or makes some weird noise, or isn't doing what it's supposed to, I can get it over to the mechanic, and I can say, the sounds like it's making a noise over here, and it sounds like this, right? Somehow, that person, the mechanic, who speaks a completely different language, by the way, can say, well, that's your X, Y, and Z, and then, you know, it's this one part, very common with these vehicles. Like, he's talking a language that I didn't even know existed. He's calling off part numbers. He not only knows how to talk to me, the idiot that brings the vehicle in, that says the vehicle's going clunk, 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 but he also knows how to talk to the parts guy. He does. And he knows how to tell the difference between the different tools that's going to take to fix that truck. Without the language to support that, it could not exist. Hear me. Without the language you speak in this moment, your circumstances could not exist. They would be non-existent. Think about it. If you can't explain something, it does not exist. I tell you. And I love what it says here at the end of Romans 12:2. It says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. Wow. That's your potential as the temple of God. That's your potential. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments. That's these words here, these justification words, man. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Make what? Your mind obedient to Christ. That's not a downer. That's a huge upper. It's like, oh my gosh, I have just won the lottery here. If I'll just change the way I think and make it more like the Word of God, then I have Christ at work within me. Wow. Wow. You have a body consisting of a vast, intelligent network of systems and organs, don't you? So you got organs in your body. Those are systems in your body, right? Within those systems and organs is a brain with a mind. That's located up here for all of you who are wondering where. The behavior and customs of this world are all attached to a false identity of the past in your mind. A false identity of the past. All you're doing is explaining the way things are rather than declaring the way things are in the kingdom of God. A mind without a standard of a mindset to govern it is attached to the negative influence of the past and the passions of a reprobate mind. A mind that is flawed, that will trigger emotions in you that are not of God, that will trigger a state in you that's not of God, an atmosphere in you not of God, actions not of God, results not of God. A reprobate mind is one that perceives the gospel of the good news, but lack the proof, thereby denying the power at work in them. Let me read that again. A reprobate mind is one that perceives the gospel. Boy, I tell you, churches all over the world, grace, grace, grace to you. Go live whatever life you want to live. Grace, grace, grace. It's all going to be fine in the end. A reprobate mind is one that perceives the gospel of the good news, but lacks the proof, thereby denying the power at work in them. Thoughts are the seeds to the soil of your body. We must adopt a mindset to govern our minds so we can transform. You think, well, I have my transformation. No, I'm telling you, there's no end to the transformation that God wants to bring you through. I'm telling you, there is no end. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ is the greatest mindset you could ever possess. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news, capital good, capital news, about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. I assure you that if I believe something, that I'm going to think it, I'm going to feel it, I'm going to carry a state of it, I'm going to have words to describe it, I'm going to have actions, and I'm going to have those results. And as I do that, I'm going to gain more and more and more awareness of what does not belong and reinforce what does through the mindset that I carry of the kingdom of God. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat, drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. His heart. We're talking about the mind and the body and the mind, the spirit, all encompassed into one. So many of us, our minds are racing far ahead of our bodies. For some of us, our bodies are racing far ahead of our minds. And I'm telling you, it is a disaster. One should not lead before the other. They should be in complete sync constantly, every day. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. I don't care what it costs in the natural. I don't care. Man, if you know supernaturally, do not let your flesh lead or let your mind lead all by itself, or just don't do it. You stay in alignment with his will for your life. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power, where? At work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. The gospel is the embodiment of the complete wellness with ever-increasing vitality of the power of God within you that is constantly at work. Let's let this out. Let it out. Get out of the way. Quit holding on to old things. Quit trying to keep things the way they have always been. Transform yourself from the inside out through carrying a mindset of the kingdom of God. This will bring physical health to your body, a mind with a state of wellness focused on truth and obedience to Christ, nurturing vitality, which is the power at work in us, with thoughts, feelings, and emotions. A spirit that bears witness with the Holy Spirit within. A purpose to fulfill God's will. Grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of it in your life. I don't care if you're 10 years old in here or if you're 100 years old in here. Grab a hold of it now. Grab a hold of it now. Take a moment. I hope you do this. Take a moment to write your thoughts and how you feel about this teaching this week. Write your thoughts down. Write your feelings about this down. How is this changing your state of being? You cannot medicate a state of being. You cannot, and trust me, they'll try. They will try. And it's like playing the whack-a-mole game. You'll whack the mole down here, and it's going to pop up back over here. You're going to whack the mole down over here, and it's going to pop back up over here. I wish I could tell you there's another way, but this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. And no man's going to come before the Father and just think, well, you know, I tried and it didn't work out. In closing, eradicate the words can't, need, and try from your vocabulary. Start with that. Can't, need, or try, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He meets all your needs in accordance with the riches and glory found only in Jesus Christ. And in the Word of God, it doesn't say try. It says you must. You must. And this is, you think, man, what you're talking about is so hard. It's so difficult. No, the way we choose to live right now in the body of Christ, the vast majority of the body of Christ, the way that we're choosing to live now is the hardest way to live. Absolute hardest, most difficult, most painful, most costly, most disappointing. Because you start getting into this, any obstacle that you'll face in the future, if you carry a mindset like I'm talking about of the kingdom of God, any problem that you will face will become a challenge in your life to once again prove the Word of God. Improve yourself as a man or a woman of God. It will no longer be something that pushes you to the side or that you cower in defeat because of. No, you'll never settle for anything less. Once you grab a hold of it, and once you start to see the fruit of this thing, you will never settle for anything less. So I hope that you do take a moment. Write down your thoughts and how you feel about this teaching this week and how it can change your state. That is lesson one. And I hope that there's something you can grab a hold of here that is life-changing. I hate to diminish any church service into thinking that it's just another message. Don't let that happen today. Don't let it happen. Not another day, not another minute. You don't allow the spirit of the devil to occupy your space. You drive him out. You've got all the authority that you need to do it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. We thank you for giving us the Word of God so that we know what your promises are. And I thank you, God, that yes, we can be saved and go to heaven. And yes, we can, you know, pray for forgiveness of our sins and all of those things are wonderful things, but even that in and of itself is a mindset. I just thank you, Father God, for expanding this mindset into a kingdom mindset, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, And that, Father God, the more we can filter those thoughts, those feelings, really check our state of being, really look at the actions that we are taking, the language that we are speaking, the results that we are creating. And Father God, conform all of those into the most wonderful expression of you in and through us. I thank you for every person in the room that knows Christ, but there may be some in this room tonight that go, I don't know if I know Christ after hearing that. I don't know, and I got to know. Well, I've got good news again. You get to start right where you are, and he loves you so unconditionally, and he didn't want anything from you. He wants to get everything to you, and he's given you his word to help you get there, and I'll tell you, there is a better life. But if that's you tonight, you want to come back to the Lord, or you know, you want to come to the Lord for the first time, this is the perfect moment to do that. Why don't you go ahead and say this prayer together with me tonight? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, come live in me. I will be your temple. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful spirit here tonight. And thank you so much for coming. And I hope there's something here that has challenged you. And I hope that that challenge is going to make you the greatest person you could have ever become. And I hope that you walk in goodness and mercy all the days of your life. And I hope that, you know, there's just not a single weapon that's going to destroy you or stop you. And that you start to look at your life and think, you know what? I want to live that way. I really want revival. And I promise you, he'll meet you right where you are. God bless you all. We will see you on Sunday. Bring a friend with you, and we'd love to love you all back to life. Amen. God bless you all.